everyone, and welcome. I said welcome to the GNOME Annual General Meeting. How many of you is this the first annual general meeting for? Awesome. How many people here are new members to the foundation within the last year? Welcome. How many people here are not yet members of the foundation? No. I'm really glad that you came because you are future members of the GNOME Foundation. And I encourage you guys to apply. If you're here, it's probably because you're working on GNOME. And all you have to do to become a member is to basically to contribute to GNOME.
They have to pay.
Happily, no. just you have to contribute to GNOME. And so chances are you're doing it anyway. If you're not, being here will surely inspire you to do so. And so submit an application, and then you'll have the benefits of membership. GNOME members have the benefit of a fancy email address, also the opportunity to get sponsorship for travel, and a few other benefits too. So voting for my bosses, right? That's pretty good. Right, and so right when you're on the board, you get to vote on the direction of the foundation, how we use our finances, a lot of important stuff. So that's pretty fun. Last year, when we had the annual general meeting, we ran out of time. We had a lot of great discussion. We had good presentations from team leaders. But when it got to the end, we just ran over time so much that we had no time at all for question and answers with the board. And we decided that that was totally unacceptable because actually having access to the board members is a really important thing about GWADEC and one of the things from the annual general meeting that I think a lot of people like the most. So what we did was instead of having it as a part of this meeting, we've moved it to the keynote slot tomorrow. And that way, everyone who is interested at all in GNOME can ask our board really tough questions. So I encourage you to think about them now. We decided to do it on the day after the AGM so that you could hear all the presentations and be reminded of everything that's happened in GNOME over the last year. And, you know, think about what to bring tomorrow to ask the board members. They are your board members. You elected them, and it's great to have an arena where they can hear what you're thinking about, hear what you're worried about, and you can hear what the direction of the foundation is going to be. So, without any further ado, I don't want to long-windedly take up all the time of the AGM, but we're definitely less pressed for time this year, which is great. One of the things that we do is we have presentations, and so I'll just, I think, get them kicked off. We've got, a great bunch of people lined up to speak, but you all know who they are. So I guess we'll start, since we're taking some time getting our slide situation sorted, we will start with a presentation that doesn't have slides. So is Alan here to talk about the on behalf of the design team? Sorry, you were out of order. You're not out of order. I sent out an expected order of when everyone would speak, and I just moved someone who is in the middle of the pack to number one. So sorry about that. Anyway, Alan Day.
I'm not very well prepared.
You need more time?
No, I just need to. So, 5 minutes for a year's worth of work. Okay, that's easy, because we haven't really been doing anything. What have we done in the past year? So, I suppose the first thing to say is I'm speaking on behalf of the design team, which is kind of, you know, obviously it's not an official team within GNOME. Like, we don't have, like, membership badges, or, like, there isn't an application process or anything like that. The bulk of the work gets done by myself, by John McCann, and by Jakob Steiner. But we have many other volunteers and contributors. We work with Lapo, when he's around. We work with other designer friends from the open source world, many of whom I see in the room today. And we obviously, we work closely with developers, and there's a lot of developers that we kind of consider to be designers in their own rights. And, you know, there are definitely a whole bunch of people that we consult regularly and ask for advice. So I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of all of those people rather than kind of some kind of cabal or anything. What have we been doing in the design world? We obviously had the 3.8 release, which was a really big release for us. We had a whole bunch of new stuff come in, and I think it was a really strong release, which has had really positive reactions. And obviously, there was a lot of work there for design, so we had things like the new application view in the shell, we had the new clock set, we had input methods work, we had a really busy round of every detail matters, and we redesigned about half of the control center, I think. So that was really busy. Obviously now we're focusing on 3.10. We've got a bunch of fairly big features in there. I'm working closely with Jasper on the new system status work in the shell. We've got more work happening on application selection, which Jakob has been doing more work on. We've got work happening on lock screen, on notifications, on more control center stuff. But more and more we're focusing on applications, and if you're in my talk yesterday, you'll have heard a bit about that. I think right now our two biggest priorities are, first of all, getting the core application set in shape. We have missing applications, we have applications that need to be redesigned, and we've been doing a lot of work on that. So we've got videos happening, we've got music, we've got software. So a lot of these apps are in development, so, you know, we're busy keeping up with the developers, and it's really good to feel under pressure, and we're getting lots of people asking us for work, which, you know, is great. The other main priority for us at the moment is developer experience. We were all at the Developer Experience Hackfest in Brussels, and one of the major focuses for us right now is GTK and getting all the new widgets that we want into GTK in the shape that we want them. That's, again, something I spoke about in my talk. And we're also looking at the application kind of deployment experience, and we're talking a lot to Lennart and Kay and everyone who's working on the sandboxing stuff and making sure that that conforms to what we want. So there's a lot of work going on there. Other things that are happening, our interns this summer are keeping us really, really busy because we have lots of interns doing lots of really awesome work, and we want to make sure that they all have designs. So I've got this huge long list. We've got like search and selection mode for music. We've got the application picker. We've got time and date settings. We've got tweak tool redesign. We've got a break timer application. We've got geolocation in initial setup, in system settings, in clocks, in hopefully in weather. So it's quite a lot. So we're doing all of that as well. So that's most of what we're working on. In terms of events, we've been quite active there. John and Jakob are obviously here. We were all at the Developer Experience Hackfest. Myself and Jakob attended this year's LGM conference in Madrid, which is a really good opportunity for us to meet other designers and artists and people working in that field within free and open source. So that's really cool. I was at Nomasia this year. John was at the GTK Hackfest in April. The one other thing to mention is we're kind of busy with kind of outreach and interns and trying to get new contributors involved. We currently have two interns working with us. We've got Pooja, who's working with Jakob on Cantarell and seems to be doing awesome work. And I still haven't met her, so Pooja, if you're here, come over and say hi. I'm working with Akanksha, who is doing user testing for us at the moment. She's based in Bangalore. She's on quite a long internship with us as a part of her, she's doing a postgraduate course in kind of testing and UX design. And she's starting to get to the point now where she's writing up her findings and feeding them into what we're doing, so that's really useful. And other than that, other outreach things we're doing, we're always trying to work as closely as we can with other designers from other open projects. So really happy that Jan's here from OwnCloud and hopefully going to be talking with him over the coming days. We have contact with people working on design in LibreOffice, so that's really nice. And we're always trying to get new people involved. And there seems to be quite a lot of interest at the moment. We quite often have people come along on, well, every once in a while someone comes along on IRC and wants to help, and we always try and point them in the right direction. We have a contribution guide on the wiki. We have a list of to-do items, which is actually kind of up to date. So that's kind of helpful. And even while I've been here, there have been people coming up to me with design ideas, and we're trying to engage with them. So I think that's pretty much it. Unless, have I missed anything significant? Where's Jakob and John? Sounds good. Okay, cool. So yeah, we're keeping busy. I think in terms of where we are, things are moving in a really good direction. We've had, if you're at my talk, one of the things I spoke about was how we've got some quite long-running projects, like with the new application designs and the widgets, and that's starting to come to fruition now. So I'm kind of pretty happy with the way things are going. That's design.
Thanks, Emily. And our technical difficulties are sorted out. So the next presentation is on the on behalf of the release team, Andre Klapper. Where is Andre?
Hello, release team. Next, please. What do I have to do? All right. So a quick intro. Release team are those nine people that do the regular GNOME stable and unstable releases. The recurring tasks of the release team are going through the feature proposals that are system-wide and keeping an eye on how stuff is going forward. Coming up with the release schedule, our 6 months. Defining and pushing GNOME goals, for example, in the last 12 months that was porting to Python 3. Then internally, who's doing the releases actually, and at the end of each development cycle, deciding on freeze break requests when somebody still wants to change the UI or strings in the very last moment. I don't mind. I don't care. Okay. So since last GUIDEC, we had 5 meetings of the release team. We have IRC meetings. And if you're interested, the full logs are available at this address. Apart from the recurring tasks that I already mentioned in the last 12 months, to cover a bit the topics we discussed in the release team, at the very beginning there were some discussions about systemd versus consolekit on non-Linux systems mostly. We killed fallback mode and added classic mode in 3.8, which is not something the release team did, but at least discussed about and took a look at how it should be done. We have OS Tree on BuildGnome.org, which helps us a lot with its continuous integration to get known working code into our releases. And the latest issue that came up was Blues version 4.5 and Pulse Audio versus Network Manager compatibility. What is likely on the list for the next months? Things always love to change, but the biggest thing is probably the Wayland port in 3.11. So far, work has been going on behind the scenes, but to really get this done well for GNOME 3.12, we have to have a big actively pushed work to get this done. For a sandboxed apps, we might have to promote a stricter file system hierarchy structure. What does the S stand for? Anyway, so where the applications put their files and stuff like this. And another debate we should resurrect at some point is if we continue to have tarballs or if we just use Git tags. And internally, we're also still thinking a bit of not using mail for the freeze requests, freeze break requests, but to use a Buxilla flag. We didn't have any changes in membership, so these are the 9 people that are currently on the release team. And we should recruit some fresh blood at some point, so we discussed this from time to time, that we're considering extending the team by 1 person, but we'll have to find one. And it, of course, also depends on the areas that the person can cover in the background. All right, these are mailing list, IRC, and where you can find information on the wiki. Thanks.
Andre can stay right here, right, because we're going to do the Bug Squad presentation next by Andre Klaber.
Thank you. All right, Bug Squad. Those are the people that take a look at your bug reports and feature and enhancement requests in bugzilla.gnome.org before, or to get them into a quality or shape before a developer takes a look at it, at least in theory. The last 12 months were pretty calm. It's really been business as usual. We currently don't run any bug days for outreach. And another thing that sometimes comes up is there's a wish to upgrade Bugzilla to a more recent version because we're running a quite old version. And if I manage to find Andrea Veri, who I haven't... Ah, that's you. Okay. Then we should talk to each other. Yeah. Oh, great. Thanks. Now I know your face. Awesome. So I'm going to present some numbers just to give you an idea. And this is mostly taken from the weekly bug summary. You see the URL, and you can change the parameters to get all the information that you want. And the numbers cover the last 12 months. We had more or less the same number of new tickets that got filed as the number of tickets that got closed, which I like. Quick look at projects before I look at people. Open tickets, there's not too much change in there. So GTK still has the most tickets. Evolution has a few less now. GNOME Schnell is growing. Nautilus got still quite some closed. That was already last year, that case. And what's not on the list, GStreamer also in the last 12 months has like over 100 tickets closed, which is also about 20%, which is pretty nice. This is the growth of tickets. I just have, I think, 3 projects or so. So to give you an idea of which numbers we talk about. And GNOME Shell is, you see it's going down a bit, but somebody probably mass closed or triaged at some point. But it still constantly grows, though not that bad anymore. I'm sorry if this already covers your talk. I think you have more info. So. GTK is also a little bit better now when it comes to new tickets, or the total number of open tickets, because there also has been some triaging lately, which is great to see. And GLib is also constantly growing. So these are probably projects, if you feel like triaging and know a little bit about it, or even retesting, that these are areas where help is definitely welcome. People. So there's Bugzilla has these nice four statistics on bug reporters, bug closers, patch reviewers, and patch providers. Keep in mind that there's also enough work done being outside of Bugzilla, so always take this with a grain of salt. You can see for the bug closers that many of these people are actually developers and not triagers, which probably means that we could have a bit more triages again, so developers have a bit more time to do the actually code work again. So it's definitely an area where we could do more outreach. Reporters is, basically I can't say much always. You take a look at the names, you're happy, and you see who's doing what and who's doing how much. And then there's patch contributors. Some people are very active in using Bugzilla. Ah, you? And the last one are the people who are very active in reviewing. So Bastien manages to review five patches per day. Wow. Yeah. And I think that's it. Yes, that's the mailing list. That's the IRC. If you have any questions or want to start triaging, you're welcome.
Thanks. The next presentation will be on outreach, and it'll be by Marina Zurakhinskaya. And on deck is accessibility.
All right. So what do I do to get to the next slide? Okay. So I'm going to cover a couple areas, like the newcomers tutorial, Google Summer of Code, and women outreach updates. So for the newcomers tutorial, Matthias has created a newcomers tutorial module, which is basically a small JavaScript program that has planted bugs in it. And people going through the tutorial can download the code for it, find a bug, report it in a special module in Bugzilla, attach a patch for it, review somebody else's patch, and close the bug. So as you can see, 48 people have gone through this tutorial in the last 10 months. And we also have done newcomers workshops at the Boston Summit and at Guadag just now. And even though we did not have a lot of participation in them, I think the people who participated and got a one-on-one help found it really useful. And like yesterday, we had six participants, and four of them went through the whole cycle of creating a bug, attaching a patch, reviewing somebody else's bug, and closing it. So just like learning the process of what it's like to contribute a patch to GNOME. And also Owen has created a system that somebody can install, and it has a pre-built GG build on it. And people with like Macs or Windows can just come to the workshop and try GNOME and kind of see what it's like in a virtual machine. And in the end of the tutorial, everybody gets a GNOME balloon. And this is like our statistics for Google Summer of Code this year. So we had fewer applicants, and that was the case across the board, because surprisingly, the fact that Google has limited the number of application a single applicant can send to five has decreased the number of applications everybody got across the board. So there were a lot of people who were putting in more than five applications, just kind of fishing for Google Summer of Code acceptance. And like we had an exceptionally high engagement with our Google Summer of Code applicants. So 56 people have worked with the mentor and have contributed a patch towards a bug that was for the modules they wanted to work on. And actually 19 of them were existing GNOME contributors. So we had a very competitive Google Summer of Code selection process where we actually had to select between people who were all strong candidates. And we accepted 39 through different programs. And then here are the statistics for women's participation in GNOME. So one big step forward we made this year is that we have many more women speaking at GUADEX this year. Attendance by women is about the same as last year. And for anybody who's here and is interested in joining Women's Dinner, for women who are here and interested in joining, we're having a dinner tonight that's sponsored by Red Hat. So RSVP at this URL. And so GNOME is doing pretty well. Like we are really moving forward, and it was very stark in like this like newcomers surveys that Kevin Carrillo did, and of GNOME's of people who responded to the survey, 50% were women, and we were like just so way ahead of like all the other projects where it was 6% across the board. And, you know, we couldn't really keep it to ourselves, like this kind of progress. So Karen and I, like, we went out and we talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people were eager to join us. So GNOME Foundation is now running a free and open source software outreach program for women. And, you know, it basically just exploded from, you know, us having, you know, 11 interns a year and a half ago just with GNOME to, like, 37 interns with 16 organizations this year. And like, for example, Linux Kernel is participating with 7 interns, which is, you know, probably more women than have ever worked on Linux Kernel. And they had like over 40 applicants who've contributed patches. And like, there was just like so obviously so much pent up demand and interest to participate. And here are the sponsors who are sponsoring the current round of the outreach program for women. And we've, you know, we've went ahead and created sponsorship levels. And also Red Hat is supporting my work on the program, and Ropes and Gray is our legal partner, and they have helped us create contracts for interns and mentors, which we had to implement this round. And, you know, just it's going further. It's really inspirational what people who complete the program do. And, like, they're working in their communities and doing great stuff, like, in GNOME and in other communities. But, for example, Satabdi has created a Women in Free Software and Free Culture group in India, along with other interns. And as I get a chance to speak about it today, she'll have a chance to speak about it today. And Meg has started an advocacy and hacking group for GNOME in Chicago. And Valerie, who did her internship with Wikimedia, is hosting a roundtable during this roundtable sessions for students at the Grace Hopper Conference, which is a big technical conference for women this October. And it's like, you know, roundtables, several sessions of roundtables. So in total, we have 46 interns with GNOME this year, and 30 are here at GUADEC. And Daniel has created like this awesome yearbook for them. And you know, if you're interested, you can take a look at it, like ask me or any of the admins or interns, or just meet people in person because they're here and come to their lightning talks on Sunday. And these are all the people who are administrating Google Summer of Code and Outreach Program for Women, but also behind every one of the 46 interns, there is a mentor. So like a huge thank you to mentors for making this happen. And here are like some ways that you can help with the outreach, and I hope those are specific and everybody can pick at least one to participate in. And so GNOME is getting a lot of interest, and there is a lot. There are a lot of questions in the GNOME Love IRC and mailing list channels. So like that's one area where we would really appreciate help, because there are just a couple of people who are always like responding there when they are around. So having more people present in those channels and answering questions would be fantastic. There can never be like enough like easy GNOME Love bugs for beginners that are recent and relevant. So please be mindful of it when you are filing bugs. We have 46 mentors on the GNOME Love mentors page. If you're interested in new contributors for your project, please add yourself there. It just means that you're willing to provide informal mentorship to somebody anytime throughout the year if they're interested in your project. So there's like some element of human touch there. And also, thanks to Sri and Alan and other people in marketing, GNOME has been very active on the social media channels. So when you see that there are opportunities for internships or events in cities that are being advertised there, and it's like relevant to where you are, please reshare those, and also to give other students at the university you are at or have attended an opportunity to participate in free software, forward information about internships to them, and we usually do send those to like the foundation list that you know, we're announcing a new round of internships, and please forward this along. And for extra brownie points, you can host a newcomers workshop in your city, and you know, you can have people go through the newcomers tutorial, and also you know, all like the slides for an introduction to GNOME, like how the GNOME community works, what are the modules in the project, like that's all online along with the image for the virtual machine. So yeah, that's all.
Thanks. And next up, Juanjo Marin will tell us what the accessibility team was up to this year.
Hi. Don't worry. The accessibility team has been working hard to implement some features that have been requested for a user for a long time. We made some progress in GNOME 3.6. Accessibility Always On is one of those features. Built-in always ready accessibility is a major milestone in GNOME's mission to deliver a free and open desktop to everyone. Till then, the user that needed any assistive technology has to activate accessibility support. This was clearly cumbersome because they have to figure out how to activate accessibility support without the help of the assistive technology that they need to. So it was clearly very a hard problem. But now they don't need to do that because they have accessibility support out of the box. Brightness, contrast, and grayscale options were added. The combination of these options is very powerful and is particularly useful for people with low vision, any kind of photophobia, and also is useful for people who want to use their computer under adverse lighting conditions. Magnifier focus and carry tracking is another of these long-awaited features. Is useful for people who use the modifier because it helps them to keep track of what they're typing when without taking care of where is the mouse pointer. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough resources to make it ready for this release. In NOM 3.8, the high contrast mode was enhanced through the addition of new high contrast icons. Many memory leaks in 88 SPI were fixed and it's enhanced the performance and the user experience in general. Orca, the NOM screen reader, gained a new profile switching feature. This allows quick changes between profiles, making far easier to access content in different languages. And again, we tried the modifier, focus, and carry tracking, but again, we fail to get it on this release. So what's about the future? We have some future for the next release. A big one is the PDF accessibility. The other one, we have a lot of memory leaks that are being addressed with the help of the community. And guess we are going to try again the modified focus and carry tracking. Yes, exactly. But what's the difference? We have a Google Summer student, Madeline Burns, that's working on it. She's working hard, and there is a patch ready for being reviewed, and eventually it will be committed. So we hope that it will be on the release. If you want to know more about Madeline's works, she's going to have a lightning talk next Sunday afternoon. We invite you to attend. PDF accessibility work is funded with the Friend of the Gnome campaign that we successfully ran the last year. We like to thank everybody who donate and help us to meet our goal. Well, so far, we faced some old patches for accessibility in the VINS, the Gnome Document Reader. And also, carry navigation has been implemented in the VINS. Tag PDF support has added to Poplar, the PDF engine that is used by the VINS. There is a lot of work in progress in this area. We invite you to attend a talk the next Sunday morning about this topic. Finally, we are going to have above next 6th of August in room 8218. It's going to have a conference format, so you can join us and bring your own accessibility topic to talk about it. But please let us know if you're coming in order to make arrangement and have a better time organization. And well, that's all from your accessibility team. Thank you.
Next up, we have the report from the documentation team, Sindhu Sundar, right? And localization is on deck.
Hi, I'm speaking on behalf of the documentation team. So this is a couple of things we've done in the past year. We have new user help for 10 new applications. And this mainly was the work of interns and applicants for the outreach program for women. We have approximately 75% of applications up to date. And we've started a platform overview that is a developer documentation. You can see it on developer.gnome.org. So we've started work on that. And there is a new How Do I series headed by Ryan Lardy. And it's currently in the works. Also, this coming few days in the Hackfest, we'll be working on the sysadmin guide. We have 4 days of documentation Hackfest, so please swing by. These are the past year's Hackfest that has happened in different places. We've had the User Help Hackfest in Brno here in February. The next one that followed was in June, which was very close to the Open Help. We worked on the platform overview, and coming up in a couple of days is a sysadmin guide Hackfest. So please do come by, and there's a talk by the docs team called Documentation State of the Union next up. So please let us know if you're interested, and you can find out more things that we're doing, you know, in detail about what I was shown here in the next talk. Thanks.
Thanks. Up next, we have localization and Peter Kovar. And on deck, we have web. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks. So let me quickly update you on... Thanks. what happened in the world of localization and I-18N during the last year or past 12 months, basically. How do I move to the next slide like this? So let's start off with some stats. We have 133 registered teams on our localization platform. It is running on l10n.gnome.org, and it's called Damlies. Then we have 178 registered languages and language variants, and almost 400 registered software modules. Some of them are not actively translated, though, but I think it's quite a large number, and it's growing every month. So we're mostly translating for the last 12 months. We also got a newer design of our Damlies server, done by two of our web designers. So big thank you goes to both of them. In the previous release, in Old Stable, we have 52 languages that had more than 80% of all strings in the official release translated. From I-18N perspective, we also got the new integrated input methods support in GNOME, which greatly improved the usage of our desktop for East Asian languages and other others. Okay, in the current stable release, we had the same number of supported languages, 52, and there were more improvements in the IMs. So what I personally think that was the greatest improvement in the localization of GNOME in the last year was a new tool developed by Nicolas Delvaux. It's called Deckard. It's basically an online service that gets data from Git repos and lets you preview. Basically, it preview screenshots of applications or windows and dialogues from applications that are based on GTK and Glade. This greatly improves the workflow for translators. It makes testing of translations way easier because you can see the context of strings in dialogues and windows, which is great. So the tool is running on an external server, and there are plans to integrate it with the translation platform if that lies. There are also some issues that we should probably mention here. We all of us need more translators, obviously. We need fresh blood in the maintainers team for DemLies. We have two maintainers currently. One is Gilles Forsell, I think he's sitting over there. And the other one is Claude Parot, who is not here, but I think we need more people to work on the unresolved issues, to implement new features, and to move the platform forward. Then we have a potential blocker for some translations for the upcoming 3.10 release, which are broken stats for GTK module. So we will probably talk to GTK developers here at Red Hat at GVADEC. Hopefully this can be resolved before the string freeze period starts for 3.10. Another issue is change workflow with Git modules that have submodules, which complicates things a bit for translators because they are required to use a slightly different way to work with Git modules, which reminds me of one more issue or one more plan that we will see or we would like or feature that we would like to see implemented in the near future, and that's probably automatic committing of translation files to Git modules. I didn't include it in the list, but it's basically related to Git submodules. That will also fix this submodules issue. We have a docs and translation session on the 6th of August. It starts at 10 at A112. So we will be discussing some things related to using ITIS tool and things like that. Translating documentation, obviously. So all translators who are at GVADEC are welcome to attend. Join us on the 6th of August. Gabor set up a wiki page which lists a list of topics that we will also like to discuss between the translators who are here at GVADEC this year. And the last slide lists two links. One is our wiki page or landing page for translators on wiki.gnome.org, and the other one is our translation platform l10n.gnome.org. So that's it. Thanks.
And next up is a presentation on web by Andreas Nielsen and Fabiana Simoes. And on deck is marketing. So I think it might be faster if whoever is on deck. Yeah, so Emily is on deck next. Maybe just whoever is on deck, come wait up front so that we, at the end of the presentation, so that we move a little faster. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to?
This is not the first slide, right?
If I ever, okay.
Does this work?
Okay. No?
Oh, I get a.
Yeah.
Oh, now you saw it all. It's
okay.
All ruined. No, it's all. All right, yeah, the web team. I've been very lucky, so like Vinicius Defisol used to help out with a lot of web stuff, and of course there always needs to be like a Brazilian person on the web team, so Fabiana Simoes came in and filled his shoes, basically. right, next slide.
Yeah, this last year we worked in a bunch of new websites for specific situations. We worked on the Happy Birthday GNOME for our 15th anniversary. It was a very basic landing page telling a bit of our story and celebrating our birthday.
Yeah, that's pretty epic because like we just bought a domain and just slapped it on there, right? And then pointed people to that. And yeah, it was like slightly similar in style to like our regular website, but still a bit different. Same with this guy, right?
Yeah, we also worked on the Outreach Program for Women website. We've been using the wiki for all the content related to the program, so it's good to have a look for the program and a landing page so we can spread the word about the program and tell about our participants, about our sponsors. And yeah, our plan is to keep improving this website and make it a resource, a tool for submitting applications and people applying for the program and making the whole selection. So this is up for the future.
Yeah, and the good cool thing about this guy, right, that we launched it and then we realized, like, well, I mean, if you browse it on your cell phone, right, it's really shitty. So we had one of our interns, well, it is, right? Like,
it is,
all
it
those
is.
Are
I,
really shitty when you browse it on a cell phone. But so we had one of our interns that we're having two interns this round, and she helped us and turn it into a responsive design, which is something we would like to see with a lot of our other websites as well, right?
Sorry? She's no. not here.
Yeah, unfortunately she's not here at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, but she is at the conference.
We also did the Guadec website for this year's conference. This includes the whole paper submission system. Yeah, and well, there's a lot of help on this website from Rui, who worked really hard on a lot of stuff, especially registration, which was really messy. I don't know where is he, if he's here, but thanks a lot for him. Not only for the website, but for putting together the conference. He has been working really hard.
Insanely hard, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. and there's also the regular stuff, fixes to gnome.org.
You know, like, yeah, it's like the basic phase of the project, right? You go to gnome.org, and we should be able to ideally tell the world what we're actually making, right? So yeah, we did some small tweaks here and there basically, and like fixing things up, and like it's a lot of like just regular maintenance job, right? Of like making sure the contents is up to date, that like every release, the screenshots actually show the latest release and not like two releases back.
We did some changes to the front page because before it was just a big banner. It didn't tell much about the project and about what we do or what our values. So we tried to mix things a bit and make it tell people more about us.
Yeah, and it was a great thing because we were actually able to integrate the foundation pages, right, our organization, which was previously like it kind of had its own identity and it was like kind of off the side, but it is the foundation of the product, right? So we made sure to like integrate it with our CMS system, which is basically WordPress, right? And made it easy for pretty much anyone to actually change the content of the whole thing in an easy manner.
Yeah, we've been awesome. So contributing to the web team is still a bit really painful. It's kind of hard to set up things locally and test patches and submit. So we've been trying to fix this lately for the last couple of months. We wrote a couple of tutorials for new contributors so they can like get started with setting up their local instance so they can write code and test their patches. We're also trying to get better at Bugzilla because we currently are not very good at it. We also, with the help of Andrea Very, thank you very much.
Andrea is like our best friend in the entire world.
Yeah.
Because like we ask him, like, could we set up a test instance of like...
Come on. Yeah, so he has been helping us a lot on setting up a proper infrastructure for testing, and so we don't test things live as we used to do.
Yeah,
don't
you
tell
know, like,
anyone
you, you
we used to do that.
Like, of course, I test things, but I only test them in production, right? Yeah. And then, like, for half an hour, the entire GNOME.org website is like a mess, right?
Please and never look at our commit logs because it's all like testing, I don't know why, and then fixing what didn't work in test, I don't know why, and then all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We also have two interns for this round of the outreach program for women, Soumya Patak and Soumya Duivedi, which caused a lot of problems because they have the same name and we thought they were the same person, and yeah.
But yeah, no, there are two individual people who are, and this adds to confusion, right? They're from the same city, the same university. So like, yeah. It was like...
We were working with Soumya Patak for a while, and then Soumya Duivedi sent an email like, hey, I would like to help. And we're like, she's crazy. She's been helping for a while.
But then realized that they were two different people and apologized accordingly. Yes, of course.
Anyway.
Right. Currently, we're trying to fix up wiki.om.org, which currently look a bit old. We're doing some kind of redesigns to gnome.org together with the marketing team and like some new brand stuff. And we're trying to create a proper system for the OPW site, so it's easy to update. Grade without like edit yep. without knowing it and yeah that was
yeah
it.
We're gonna have a web development buff on the 6th afternoon, so if you're interested in helping, there is a lot of things to do, so please stop by.
And now it's time for the next team. Sorry for taking a bit long.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
So up next, I apologize to Emily for making her stand there for so long. Whoever's on deck can sit. So, Emily Gagné to present on behalf of marketing.
Did you find them in the mess with mine?
This one, right?
Is that right?
There we go. So, I'm Emily Gagné. I don't have a preview slide. I didn't think of that. So, marketing has done a lot of stuff over the last year. We've done the next annual report, which I think we have printed. Do we have a printed copy? Yay! Over the last year, we've had two interns. We'll talk about them more in a little bit. We also did a Hackfest in New York City, and that was really great. I think that was the first Hackfest for marketing in several years. I'm not sure how long exactly. It's been a while. And we've had a presence at 6 conferences. So we had booths or some sort of a GNOME presence at least 6 conferences. And then for the last year about now, we've had bi-weekly phone meetings where everyone calls in to the Software Freedom Law Center, is that right?
Conservancy.
The Conservancy. And they provide a call-in for us so that we can all talk to each other, which has been really helpful to get stuff done, to be talking on the phone rather than simply on IRC. So these are pictures from our Hackfest in New York City, which was really great. We were there in the beginning of June. We did a whole bunch of stuff. On the right is a picture of our, I think that was a poster board that we ended up with sticky notes all over with different ideas to try and figure out how to better market ourselves. We also did all sorts of brainstorming on different names for marketing. We never did come up with any solid decision, so we're still marketing. Perhaps in the next few months, we'll figure something out. These are our interns that we've had for the last year. On the right is Flavia, and I'm probably gonna butcher her last name, I apologize. Wise-Gitzi. She was our intern from January through March, and she did a whole bunch of stuff, including developer interviews, which I do believe are online somewhere, and I think she's done some interviews while she's been here as well. She also did keyboard layout database, where she asked for, hopefully some of you participated in it, where you went in and told what layout you were using for what language to help us get better feedback on which ones work best. This summer, we have Tiffany Yao, who is over here. She's been wandering around the conference, I know, taking pictures and doing video interviews and doing all sorts of wonderful things for us. She's also been cleaning up the live.gnome.org website, which is kind of a mess. If any of you get on there regularly, it's really just not well organized, so she's been working on that for us. Yeah, I think, is that the last one? I think there's one more, yeah. And then this is the list of the various GNOME events that we've done. We were at FOSDEM, of course, this year. Last year, I ran a booth at Ohio Linux Fest, which was the first time I think GNOME had had a booth there in at least a couple years. Sean McCants was down at Ohio at the Open Help Conference in Cincinnati, when along with the Documentation Hackfest, were in conjunction with that. Sri was at the Northwest Linux Fest, and I presented at a LUG up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. At Ohio Linux Fest, I actually ran into Kevin O'Brien there, and he invited me up to give a presentation on GNOME and what we're doing, and I went up and did that in March. And that's about all I have.
Thanks, Emily. And up next, we have Fabiana again, but this time on membership. And sorry, up on deck is financial.
Hi again. I'm going to speak on behalf of the membership committee. So the current committee is composed by Andrea Verri and me, Federico, Pedro, and Tobias. Federico and I joined this year, so we are new members. We've been learning how to get around with the memberships. We currently have 360 members, which is excellent. And it's a bit less than we had on the last time we presented here at the AGM. We had 55 new members since last year, so welcome to all these members, and an applause for them. I'm really happy because among these 55 new members, there's a lot of translators, so it's really great to see these guys on joining the membership, and they make really valuable contributions. And also we have 10 emeritus members. The emeritus membership status was created on last year too, so we have 10 currently, 10, so plus 10 from last time. Yep. We also had the elections this year, so 8 candidates running for 7 seats, and we had 192 votes and no empty ballots. And yeah, the current board, as you guys must know, is composed by Andrea, Zekaterina, Emanuele, Joni, Marina, Sri, and Tobias. So welcome to them too. Or we welcome to those who are on the board already. And that's it. Thank you guys. And for those who are not Foundation members, please apply. You guys are certainly very, very welcome.
Now it's on. With no further ado, Kat is going to give us the financial report. Kat was just elected the new treasurer of the GNOME Foundation, which is, I'm sad Sean is not here to give him a huge applause to thank him, because it's a really tough job. And so thank you, Kat, for taking that on.
So we're about 2 months away now from our end of the financial year, which is end of September. So as you can see, we've got still a little bit to go in terms of paying some invoices and receiving some payments. Mostly we're waiting on, I think, approximately $50,000 from AdBoard members. And thanks to the Linux Foundation, we'll get another $10,000 this year, which we weren't expecting. As you can see, we've had quite stable income and expenses over the last few years, which means we can continue sponsoring Hackfests and lots of people to come to events like WADEC. I think this year we sponsored around 56 people to be here, which is excellent. And this year we expect most of our income, as normal, to come from sponsorship. This has been the case for as long as I have seen, and most of the rest of the income comes from the advisory board. There isn't actually much more to say about the budget, so if anyone has any questions.
There's a lot more detail if you want in the
There is indeed.
Next up, Andrea Verri will give the SysAdmin report, and I forgot to tell him he was on deck. And on deck after him is GNOME Asia. Andrea.
Hello, everyone. Sorry. My name is Andrea Verri. I'm currently leading the SysAdmin team. And we've been doing a lot of things in the last year. Let's start with the hardware side of things. We had many machines that were really old. Many of them were dated 2004, so they had 9 years of life. And luckily, many of them, all the services that were running on many of them, were migrated before they died. It happened that I logged into a machine and the disk was broken. Luckily, all the services were migrated already. So six old machines have been recycled. And thanks a lot to the Red Hat team for doing this work at the Phoenix 2 data center. And two new machines joined our rack. These two machines are really huge and powerful. And one of them is currently being used by Colin Wilders, I don't know if he's around here, for his O3 project, aka bile.gnome.org. We have also revised the rack at Phoenix 2. It was missing the management consoles, so we couldn't debug the issues on the physical machines, and we did an inventory of the machines we have there, and the plan of the near future is to have all the machines attached to the management consoles so we can reboot, check the console, shut down the machine directly from a web interface. We did introduce a lot of new services like OnCloud, the Etherpad, which have been reported that it's not going really good, but it's probably the wireless here not going really, really good. We introduced the KGB bot, which is a replacement of the CIVC project. It allows you to have comic notifications of your project directly on ERC. We also introduced the ERC services, which is a replacement for the NICSER and ChanSER of bigger networks like Freenode. Unfortunately, the GIMNET team didn't want to help us to set up proper services, so we came up with a replacement. And you should see it in your channel. It's called Services. Then we also rebuilt Jabber, and we set up the bile service that Colin runs. We also did Puppetize. Puppet is a centralized management system that allows you to keep all the configuration files in one place, and you can create a lot of machines with that configuration files without having to modify the files by hand on each of these machines. And all the websites have been moved to the proxies in a failover setup. So we have two proxies, and we run an Apache server in front of the proxies. And these Apache servers is currently redirecting all the requests to SSL. So pretty much all the services we run are now beyond SSL. We also upgraded our wiki. We run a very old instance, and we are currently running the 1.9.7 Moin release, which is the latest. And the new release has stronger password hashes, so I would suggest you, if you didn't already, to change your password and get the new hash. We also did a lot of migrations, and this is connected to the fact that many machines were recycled. So we moved our NFS main host to a machine that one of the sysadmins donated to the Neon Foundation. His name is Jeff Schroeder. I don't know if anyone knows him. He donated to the machines, so we moved a lot of services to these machines, including NFS, Postfix, and Nagios. We also upgraded all the machines to RHEL 6.4 and to the latest Ubuntu LTS, because some machines are hosted by Canonical in London, so we run Ubuntu on them. And then we improved our Nagios interface, introducing a lot of new checks. Nagios is a monitoring tool that allows you to keep track of all the services you run in your infrastructure and get notifications if something goes wrong. So we introduced a lot of new checks, and we introduced also CheckMK, which is let's call a plugin, an additional software for Nagios that help us having more services tracked. We did move our LDAP server as well, and we introduced SSD, which is a replacement for NSLCD. And the very nice thing about SSD is the fact that it allows you to keep a cache of the logins entries. So in the case the main LDAP server goes down, we know that the sysadmins can get into the machine without the need to request, query the LDAP database. And we did set up a replica too. We also rebuilt all the virtual machines we had. And I'm really thankful to the OSUOS team, the Open Source Lab team from the Oregon State University that is currently donating four virtual machines, and two of them are the ones that Andreas pointed out before, and are currently being used by the GNOME's website team. The last item, which is very recent, is the fact I did move the GNOME Spano server to the GNOME infrastructure. So with the GNOME system sysadmin team is currently managing also the Xpanos machine, so we can make sure that all the changes are directly done by the sysadmin team. Okay, this should be all.
So up next we have Max Huang, or known on IRC as Sakana Max. Okay, I think we'll do it next. And Aruna, you're up next on deck.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Woo! Yeah. Okay, I'm Max. First, I want to thank you to GNOME Sam here. Oh, this is Taiwan. This is Bono. Yeah. We fly here to 35 hours to here. Thank you, GNOME. Okay. Yeah, Taiwan, yeah. Sorry for Chinese. Global Asia started with 2008, and every year we have a different situation. So we learn many things to, for example, to a new city, to cooperation with the other conference, and we have a Ghana users video and do something. This year we have a conference in Korea, the Seoul. It's a very beautiful place here. And this conference we have we have 200 attended in this year, and we have many talk here. But there is one interesting thing, because our attendees, they are 64%, they are the engineer and the workers. It's very not interesting thing for the less experienced. Okay, so they are ground users, but you will see the in Korea they are part of them are developers. According to last year experience, we want to do some sponsorship earlier, okay, because we try to find somewhere to grow up. So this year we really think the Korea team, they do that very awesome work, because for their local sponsorship, they almost cover 16% of our budget. For international sponsorship, they almost cover about 18% of our budget. So, but I must say we are still learn, because this is our sixth year, okay? I know we are not grown enough in Asia, but we try to find some way to do our ground. But I really want to say we just need your support. If we have a portal, I think the people in Europe, they will know the left side, but people in Asia, they will know the right side, okay? If we have portal, we really want to transfer all of you to the Asia, really. So I want to show a video to everyone. Okay, sorry. Yeah, for this year's conference.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so, but I must thank you the Ground Asia community member, and most of all, we must thank you the local staff. But most important, I want to thank Ground. Okay, thank you, everybody.
So up next, we have Satabdi and Aruna talking about a new initiative that they're working on, WFS India. And I think I'm up on deck. Yeah.
Hi, this is Satabdi, and this is Aruna. We are here to talk about WFS India, which stands for Women in Free Software and Culture in India. So how did WFS got started? So I got selected in as an OPW intern in round 5, and the experience was quite remarkable. The help that I got from my mentor and the support from Marina Bastian was really wonderful. It helped me to grow my expertise, and the atmosphere was really cordial. And I really wanted to share with other women the support that I got here, and I wanted to create a platform for that, and that's why I started WFS India. And I can tell I have been working as a software engineer, and there are quite a few women who would really love to contribute to open source software, but they do not know how. So one, they're ignorant about the opportunities, and two, they're also hesitant. So I really wanted to address that situation. So
how we decided to get started was to just jump into the scene and start conducting workshops. Since it's a Women in Free Software and Culture group, we started with having a workshop on localization, since India is a country of many, many languages, so we thought that was the best way to combine free software and culture. And that was on Culture Freedom Day, which was on May 20th. And recently we've had a Git workshop, because Git is, I think, a very important gateway to open source contribution. And our Git workshop was attended by about 60 people, out of which 30 were women. So there were also men, but 30 women. And though it's a great group and everything, we've had some nasty disagreements. And one of these was that many of the people in the community, in the group, believe that only FOSS users should be participants, but right now we've sort of reached a conclusion that we should probably get women who use both Windows and OS X to encourage them to become FLOSS users and get FLOSS users to start contributing. So that's our goal. And yeah. So here we are at Guadec, and we realized that one of the most important things for groups, remote groups like ours, is to have offline participation as well, because most of our events were online. And that's one thing that we want to focus on.
Along with offline events, we would also start a magazine where we can feature women contributors and showcase their work so that they can act as a role model, which I don't think we have in open source. I'm not sure we might have, but I'd like to definitely like to start one, and also create a networking platform which help a lot in grow your expertise and get to know good work where one can join and that kind of stuff. And that's all what we have to say, and we'd really love if you can help us, support us in any way. Please join us on our mailing list, which is on our website, wfsindia.org. That's it. Thank you.
So now I'm going to basically just give you a little update on, that's to come after. We're going to talk about, I shook things up a little bit order-wise. I'm sorry, Rosanna. So I wanted to give you guys a little update on what the foundation and I have been up to. Perhaps one of the most exciting things that has happened is that we set our our privacy campaign, and we met our goal. So thank you guys so much. This is all your efforts and your donations, and thank you. Just a round of applause for all of you. One of the things I like about the about doing the campaigns like the privacy campaign and before it the accessibility campaign is that it sets out our ideals. I think I was saying this in the opening too, so I won't belabor it too much, but it sets our ideals for everybody else to see. And then we become leaders in that field. And that's one of the things that has started happening with the privacy campaign. So it allowed us, the fact that we were already caring publicly about privacy made us able to have a voice and stop watching us and some of the other stuff that has been happening that's been very relevant in the news. So that's been pretty exciting. It's generated a lot of positive press for GNOME. And, I think that having these really like ideologically focused campaigns helps us sort of position GNOME in the ecosystem as an organization and a free software project that always does the right thing and that cares. So we've done accessibility, we've done privacy. We're definitely not done with either of these. We were saying that 2012 was the year of accessibility at GNOME, that it was kind of silly. It was like an inspiring, yes, this is the year, but really every year should be the year of accessibility at GNOME and every year should be the year of privacy at GNOME. And so what's next? Let me know what your ideas are. I'd love to sort of stay with these, like, putting our foot down for the things that we care about most. The advisory board is an important functioning of the foundation. As I think most of you know, the advisory board is a collection of our company supporters, and as Kat was indicating, our advisory boards financially support us, and what they do also is they serve on a board that has no voting power over the foundation. That's you guys. You guys have all the power voting over who runs the foundation and what it does. But the advisory board is there to act as advisors, and the board often seeks their advice on important matters of the foundation. The advisory board meets quarterly, but this past year we decided to make another meeting, an in-person meeting, so the day after this conference ends, the advisory board members will meet in person have a full day of discussion. And the phone calls we had usually last an hour, and we choose like a topic that helps inform the advisory board of what's going on or has a great discussion that will help us going forward. So we do one here, and we do one at FOSDEM as well now. Our advisory board stayed active and involved. And we added a new advisory board member, as we mentioned. Overall, our sponsorship, I'm kind of duplicating a little bit of what Kat said, so sorry about that. But overall, sponsorship in of itself increased in amount and numbers, or at least in our outstanding invoices. But a lot of that has to do with the Outreach Program for Women. And basically, the more sponsorship that comes in for Outreach Program for Women, the more goes out directly in intern payments. So that program, as it scales up financially, has not so much impact on our finances, but it makes us look like we're taking in a lot more money. I'm constantly looking for ideas of new sources of funding and new partners, so come talk to me. I think most of you know, because I've talked to most of you, that I'm, as an executive director, the board are my bosses, but really I report to all of you. So if you have any ideas, if you have anything that you think I should be doing, whatever you think, just contact me. One thing that I like to point out this year is that this is a graph of our donations from individuals as of the end of the last fiscal year. And as you can see, in the fiscal year 2012, we received more donations from individuals than in any prior year by a lot. So that was really exciting. And I think part of it was the excitement generated by the accessibility campaign, and part of it was just that I think people who cared about GNOME, I think, a lot of the press was mixed that, in that time, and I think that people who cared about GNOME were really mobilized to give. People really wanted to support GNOME. So I thought that was really great to see. On staff, we added a new part-time employee, and we've heard from him earlier, Andrea Very. What? Oh, sorry, you're totally right. It's not a part-time employee, part-time contractor. If the IRS saw that, we would be in trouble. Bear that in mind for my next slide. So we're kind of 2.5 employees, but not really. You're right, 2 employees and a contractor. And this was actually on my my intention for this slide of mentioning employees was to mention Rosanna because I've never thanked her before at the AGM, but she works so hard for the foundation. And for example, in the last year, we've been ramping up the outreach program for women and just so excitedly adding more interns and adding more organizations, adding more invoices to send and adding more wires to send. And Rosanna has just taken that all on into her workflow, and I would love if everyone gave her a round of applause. I wasn't going to say that she also reminds me of things I forget, but I think we demonstrated that. And then the last thing under this is that we're moving our corporate home since Rosanna is moving to California. She maintains all of the like really boring paperwork that needs to be filed, and we were consequently based in Massachusetts. We'll be moving to California, so we're moving our corporate home because California is actually technically where GNOME is incorporated. So that's relevant for the foundation, but probably not that exciting. So examples of some of the things that I do. I get the word out. I do a lot of interviews. This was a really wacky year. I was on Canadian public broadcast, which is really fun. And I never done radio before, and that was pretty strange. I do regular oddcasts and video interviews and things. And I guess I appear on the conference circuit, which is a little bit weird. I have this part of my job, the part of my job that I hate, which is fundraising. It is miserable, miserable, miserable. But it's a really important and really big part of what I do. I facilitate events, so I'm active in all of the event organizing around GWADEC and GNOME Asia and Hackfests. I act as a representative for the project, so I'm just basically out there as being on behalf of GNOME. So when others are unhappy about something that's going on in the GNOME project, they often contact me, which is really, really useful because a lot of times people contact me before they speak publicly about it, and sometimes there's a misunderstanding, so that's something that I do that isn't that visible. As we were pointing out earlier, I'm also a lawyer, maybe not as careful of one. No, I'm just kidding. But I do a lot of trademarks work and answer licensing questions and things like that for GNOME, and I just act as a general coordinator with the board and teams. Strange. I wanted to say that mention the fact that we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of GNU, and as GNOME is a GNU project, and I think that the GNOME project and its membership are like really so driven by the ideals of freedom, and all of that is represented by the GNU project. So you'll probably see some things about the celebration of the anniversary of GNU, and I think GNOME's gonna get involved, and if you'd like to participate in that, let me know. Which leads us to the last item I have on my slides, which is the Pants Award. But before we get to the Pants Award, which is very exciting, we have a short, thank you. let's do this one. And so this year, the short thank you goes to someone who is now sometimes paid for his work in GNOME, but but has worked tirelessly, especially before he was hired as a part-time contractor. So the short thank you goes to Andrea Berry.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
It was amazing how much work Andrea did before we hired him. It was like 24 hours a day. It was crazy. And you know, we've been giving out like these T-shirt thank yous before the pants every year, and I just sort of thought that it would be fun to kind of formalize it. But there only can be one pants. One pants. Last year, the pants winner was Marina, and that was very exciting. And we should applaud her again. And this year, I'll show the pants first. They're black. They're simple, perhaps elegant. The winner of the pants this year is one of the people who liaisons between the different teams of GNOME. He acts as a bridge between a lot of different communities. He has started an initiative, Every Detail Matters, and is a very valued contributor to our design team. He's a leader in the marketing team. He does so much work above and beyond. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with him online when he should have been asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. Alan Day. Which was, you know, courtesy of Kat. There's no credit there, but it's Kat's photo. I think that's all I had, yeah. So we're Aquatic, and the traditional end of the AGM was to announce the next Guadalajara location, but we already know what that is. So the last two presentations are going to be events that are upcoming. And so first, we have Alexandra Franck talking about next year's Guadalajara.
Thank you. So I was organizing Guadalajara 2014, but I heard that this is the last Guadalajara. So I don't know, what do you think? Should we stop there? No? Great. Because okay. That's great news, because the truth is Strasbourg is the best place in the world. And you know I'm telling the truth because great people come from Alsace. So in case you don't know, Strasbourg is in Germany. Yes, it's in France. And it's known for its cathedral. Also, is there any Belgian people in the room? No? Great. So, Strasbourg is the capital of Europe. And this is what to expect. The next one is for you, Bastien. Great wine too. And so if you want to follow what we are doing, or if you want to participate, you can subscribe to the pages on the wiki. And that's all. Thanks a lot.
And the next upcoming event that we're going to hear about, and actually the last item on our agenda. So thank you all for being so patient, and please come to the board Q&A tomorrow. I think it's going to be great. Bring your tough questions. Here's Ryan Larty talking about the Montreal Summit.
No real status update or slides, but we're going to Montreal this year. We have confirmed we're definitely going to be in Montreal on the Canadian Thanksgiving, the real Thanksgiving, in other words, weekend, October 12, 13, 14. We're being generously hosted by Savoir Faire Linux. They're this cool outfit that's got offices in Montreal, Ottawa, and Quebec City. And we're probably going to be at their offices, but it's kind of in flux right now. So if I could get everybody, like especially this year, to put their name on the participants list if they're tentative or confirmed, because we might have to move it to a larger venue if things get really, really big. Yeah, so see you all in Montreal.
Thank you all for coming to the AGM. Encourage your GNOME friends to apply for membership. And thank you. I realize that this is an official meeting of the membership. Does anybody have any motions? Again, being a lawyer, are there any motions of, because last year we had a couple. Yes. I move to adjourn. Okay. Thank you all. Sorry about that. Okay.